All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, the sun will come out the day after. It's only one game, people. But after the Astros dropped the opener 3-1 to the Dodgers, we are the usual suspects, and we are here to discuss that and a whole lot more. It's Tyler in for Nick once again. It's Barry. It's Joel. We'll take you up till 4 o'clock with fun game shenanigans and a whole lot of sports as we break down what happened last night, what to expect tonight, and span the globe of other things as well. Fair enough?
Ugh.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the one thing was, that game was fast.
Yeah, it was. I noticed about the ninth inning. I was like, man, this game flew by. That was really quick. And I think they even mentioned it. Joe Buck said something about 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's crazy for a baseball game. But that shows you both pitchers worked fast. A lot of outs. I mean, it was basically a game of three mistakes.
Unfortunately, Keuchel made two of them.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's going to happen. I just wanted you guys to know, though, I went home and threw away all my hats.
You didn't give them to Trey?
No. I threw away all my wife was like, why are you throwing away your hats? And I was like, because, Nora, it's hard out here in this world for chubby middle-aged lesbians, and I don't need a strike against me.
At least he's letting that go, Tyler.
I thought it was like a superstition thing.
What? How many
because
hats?
You wore an Astros hat yesterday, and that's no. The reason why they lost.
No, I don't need another strike against me.
How many hats?
Like five.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I'm not a hat guy. I didn't throw them away. I told my wife that. She thought that was hysterical, by the way. I was like, you know, you had me all pumped up, babe, telling me how hot I look in a hat. Come to find out, I look like a lesbian. According to Tyler, and Joel didn't defend me, so according to Joel,
I didn't say anything.
Too,
I let you guys duke it out.
She was like, a lesbian? She was like, let me look.
And then she went, what the hell?
I put the hat on. She was like, what? You could at least have no sex after that either, so apparently I am not hot in the hat.
She did not use the pat noises from Saturday Night Live?
No. I was just like, man, this is killing me right now. I got to keep my hair cut. I can't be.
Dude, we were
doing
talking about that in
thing.
The break because AJ and Fred were talking about that one day about how many T-shirts you have, how many hats. Like Lisa would love if I did what you did. Just not even thread it because she'd make me go through with it. I have to have like 400 or 500 hats.
Do you?
Yeah, I've collected them since I've been young, and I don't.
So
throw
do
them
you
away.
Ever not wear a hat?
Yeah, a lot. Like every day at work, I used to have to. That's why it's weird because when I go into like the grocery store or whatever, and I don't have a hat on now, they're like, "Whoa, didn't even recognize. Didn't even know it was you." And I was like, well, you know, every day, just like every day you used to have to dress up for work. So that's why I take full advantage of the comfortability factor.
Yeah, well, you're slumming it now.
I know.
Yeah, you're showing up here in your pajamas.
But I have those storage bins that you can buy for just
hats.
Yeah,
the plastic ones?
Yeah,
for hats?
Yeah, for hats where you can like, you know, you kind of push in the back of them and make sure they keep their shape and you can just run like, you know, rows of them.
Uh-huh.
I've got like two or three of those in storage that have probably... Probably about 50 to 100 hats in each one.
Oh my god! And how many do you have?
Like three of them.
Dude, you have over 200 hats.
I'm telling you, I got more than 400.
You have 400 hats.
Uh-huh.
Oh my goodness.
Yep.
And you won't throw any of them away, huh?
Hats, shoes, and T-shirts. My wife thinks I'm a hoarder.
I thought you were gonna say whore. You finished
no.
Hoarder. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know where you were going with that at first. Yeah, you kind of are though. I mean, how many pairs of shoes do you have?
Well, I mean, a lot of them are in storage.
How many pairs of shoes do you have?
Probably over 200.
You have 200
hats. I'm going to guess.
I mean, 400 hats and 200 pairs of shoes. You almost have a hat.
Now,
you go two hats for every pair of shoes.
Because of the fact that Nike, and we've talked about this, when they went to all the foam posit and the foam air cushioning, that foam over time disintegrates. I've had to throw out a lot of shoes because of the fact that even if you store them in a cool, dry place, the soles will fall off the shoes.
Or you return them.
Well, no, if it's within 3 years, I'll try.
Okay.
Yes.
And successful.
That's crazy. I do have, my shoe collection is growing, but not, it's not just tennis shoes. Like, I just, whatever shoes I'm feeling.
Yeah, I got
at
a ton
time.
Of dress shoes and casual shoes, too.
I have all of my tennis shoes, but see, I don't consider, like, the shoes I'm wearing now. I don't, they're like the white bottom soles.
Yeah.
I don't consider those tennis shoes. Like, I consider tennis shoes like.
Right. No, I feel you. I got.
So like, I have shoes for running.
Yeah.
I have about four or five pairs of running shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have my Space Jams.
Mm hmm.
And then I have my red Air Max, and that's it. And that's it.
Well, you're running behind.
I know. I need to get with it. I don't know what's going on. But I get fixated on something, so I'll wear like the same pair of shoes over and over and over again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess my Stan Smiths are considered tennis shoes, aren't they?
Yeah, of course they are.
Oh, well,
yeah, but like I thought you meant like dress shoes. I have the Cole Haans that Nike makes that have the white soles with the air bottoms, but are the uppers are dress shoes. I have several pairs of those in the brown and the black, and used to wear those like with business casual attire at work.
Okay.
That's the hip thing to do at SportsCenter now, as we're even watching it on the screen in front
of
us.
Yeah, I don't like the look.
It's
tennis shoes.
Some guys go
just
full tennies, and some guys go with the white-soled kind of dress casual.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think it looks dumb.
If you're going to go full suit with tie, you just don't pull those off.
Right. I'm with you.
All right, so we got a full show today. We've got lots to get to because we got lots to talk about with that baseball game last night.
Ugh.
The good, the bad, the ugly. We've got a few guests lined up as well, as we'll have Jake Kaplan, the Chronicles beat writer for the Astros, join us at 1:30 to talk about what happened in Game 1 and what to preview in Game 2 with Justin Verlander on the hill. Then we'll have Sarah Barshop on us with at 3:30, and she is becoming a regular as she is the beat reporter for the Texans for ESPN. And so we will get her opinions on what's going on with the Texans as they get back to work, getting ready to play Seattle this week up in the Pacific Northwest. And along the way, we've got plenty of other things to get off our chest, but we've also got a full open line for you guys to tell us what's on your mind. 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. It's at producer T Scott, at Barry is funny, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K.
Hey, Tyler, did I see you are now blocking people on Facebook if they don't like the Astros? What's up with that?
Is that true?
That seems very childish.
I'm unfollowed them.
Okay, so you're not blocking.
No.
And you're not unfriending. You're just unfollowing so you don't have to see their stupid-ass Facebook posts.
Yeah, and you don't have to do it forever.
Did you do that during the election, too?
For, like, no, I just stayed off Facebook. Actually, I didn't unfollow anybody on Facebook during that just because I thought it was actually very funny.
Boy, so there were, Barry and I have talked about this, but there were people that literally ended friendships of, like, 10 and 20 years just because of the election. If you didn't go in the same direction that they did, and then I had people that not only were deleting friends because they didn't agree with them politically, but then were just selling them out after they deleted them.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Just weird. I'm with you. I will unfollow people if I don't want to see their post anymore. Unfollow is a great feature because you don't have to unfriend somebody so they don't get their feelings hurt, but you just never have to see their post again. I like it.
And you can...
So you're still officially friends with them. You just
correct.
Don't see
on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You have the option of unfollowing for a day.
Oh,
three
I haven't
days,
seen that. I just unfollow.
7 days, 30 days, or forever.
Oh, I got you.
And I'm just going with a whole week, just that way I don't have to see their stupid
the series
BS.
Is over. Yeah. Okay.
Their stupid BS.
I get it.
You're very pouty. That's you take your Astros serious.
Like, I should have unfollowed this one guy that I'm friends with on Facebook. I should have unfollowed him a while ago.
Yeah.
Just because he does post very annoying stuff, but
he's a Dodger fan?
No, like he lived in California for like a month or something like that. So
he's a Dodger fan.
He's like, "Oh, well, if the Astros don't win, I feel good that the Dodgers are going to be the one to beat them." Like, "Bro, you lived there for a month. You can't claim a team just because of that."
Well, some do. That's called a bandwagon fan.
Oh, don't get me started.
Oh, man.
You know, I'm going, like, I check all my different social medias, and I'm looking at Instagram, and of course, you're seeing, like, this. I just see, like, there's this girl, like, "Oh, my God, Astros are in the World Series. I love it." And she's got, like, her Astros hat on and her Astros jersey. She's like, "I love the Astros so much." And then you scroll through her entire Instagram, not one other pic with Astros gear, and again, none of that. It's like, come on, man. That's the ones that get on my nerves. There's some, though, that I saw that. I was like, "Oh, here we go again." Then I start scrolling, and sure enough, they went to games. And I was like, "Yeah, that's a fan. That is a true fan right there."
Yeah, I mean, look, if they can show some, it's like you were talking about, if you can name a couple of the Astros, if you can, you know, and you can even more so name some in back in history, then we'll give you a pass. But some of these bandwagon jumpers,
ugh.
Man, it's just.
I mean, I get the argument where people are like, hey, but at least something positive in their room. Yeah, I get it. I do. It's just a personal thing. It's nothing, you know. I just, ugh. I don't know. I've just never been a bandwagon fan, so I guess that's why I can't relate. I don't know.
I haven't either. And just I'm with me. You. I have a problem with it too, but at the same time, it's like you can't win the battle.
Because no, never will.
People are so passionate, even if they've been a fan for only like a day.
I grew up an Aggies and Oilers fan. Trust me. I should have jumped ship a long time ago on both of those, and I didn't, and I should have.
Well, you got hope this year with
well,
both of them.
So. Do I? Yeah. Do I though?
Oh, the Oilers will be strong.
Somebody said, of course it's OU Mike, when I was talking about my hats yeah. and the way they made, Barry would have made a great professional women's golfer. You, Mike, I hate you.
I'm with you. At least we agree on it. See, it's a great way to start the show. We agree on something. And by the way, it's Wayback Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so in honor of Wayback Wednesday, we each picked a 50-50 split as close as possible, where we selected four Houston-based songs from either Houston artists or Houston in the title, and then four from L.A., or California.
I have a feeling one of mine is going to be in dispute.
By
and
Tyler.
You didn't even catch it.
I don't spend that much time
but
on
it. But I feel
anymore.
Like that somebody's going to dispute it. But
Tyler's
I'm
gonna,
prepared.
I hope Tyler knows why.
Huh?
So I already know why.
I know. I told you. So but you wouldn't.
I would never have known if you didn't tell me.
So sell him out.
A lot of people don't.
Get on it, Tyler.
I have Gangstar on my list.
Going on.
Okay.
And Gangstar is a New York-based rap group. But their producer and DJ, TJ Premier, mm-hmm. born in Houston.
You're out. All right, so Barry's out. What? That's official, even though it's not a competition or a contest. Barry's
oh, sure.
out.
Yeah, now.
And Tyler and I are in. Tyler's still formulating his list. So what is the order, Tyler?
I don't know.
Oh.
Really?
Excellent. Well,
that's great. We're going to break.
We're going
blank.
To break.
Joel Blank going first.
I'll go first, which means I got to eliminate one of mine.
You're gonna get rid of Larry Gatlin.
Else. I gotta get rid of Houston. I'm one day closer to you. Otherwise, you gotta find a way to work that in as well as the other seven. So there you go. Oh, fine. I don't care. I'll go first. I pulled a Nick in some ways. I was like, I'm not just, but it came together rather quickly thanks to the bullpen out there. So we'll be all right. But it's a Wayback Wednesday, pre-2000 songs.
LA
and Houston.
H-Town.
Yep. So we'll get rolling on that, and we'll have a whole lot more. So like I said, if you guys want to join us, the lines are open right now, 713-780-3776. HRP and listener line, you can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. Right now, I want to tell you guys about the Harris Cup, which is coming up. It is a great event as ESPN 97.5 and Culture Map have joined forces with the Harris Cup. Saturday, October the 28th at the Horses and Goddesses Gala in beautiful Magnolia, Texas. All you got to do is go to harriscup.com for tickets. It's H-A-R-A-S Cup. com. The day of events are all free and open to the public, and tickets are limited as they're running out to the gala, but the gala is a fantastic event as well. Go to harriscup.com and be amazed. It's more than just equestrian events. It's an all-day, all-night affair in which you will be entertained. There will be plenty of social gatherings for you to mingle, lots of good food and beverage, and lots of good opportunities to contribute and or to get involved. It is a fantastic event. Like I said, ESPN 97.5 and Culture Map are involved, so you know it's got to be good. Saturday, October the 28th, Horses and Goddesses Gala. All you got to do is go to Harris Cup, HARAS Cup.com for tickets.
We in that sunshine state where the bomb ass hit be. The state where you never find a dance floor empty and pimp speed. On a mission for them greens. Lean, mean, money making machines serving fiends. I've been in the game for 10 years making rap tunes. Ever since Honeys was wearing Sassoon. Now
to get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com. Is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
I already threw the flag.
This wasn't on your list.
No, I'm putting it the entire process under protest, but that's fine. Tyler's just picking songs for me now because it didn't show up on the computer. Blame the computer for your shortcomings. Fine, whatever. I did have the Peppers on there because they're my wife's, one of her favorite groups.
I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. A lot of people don't. I know you're not. I don't know why people don't like them.
Plus,
they're very simple when it comes to music, which I wouldn't know.
They're big Laker fans too. When I was working for the Rockets, it always made me salty.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I've just never been a big fan of their music. But my wife loves them.
Okay.
So yeah, I had Californication on there, but whatever. So Barry, you and I, you're out. I win on a technicality because Tyler's playing the wrong song. So whatever Tyler does doesn't matter.
Is that how we're doing it?
I'm Judge Wapner today.
Okay.
I'm laying it down.
All right.
All right, so where you want to go? You want to start with the fiasco last night?
Well, I think we have to, don't we?
Yeah, I think we probably the best course of action. Observations, and I know you've got them too, and I know I didn't keep up with Twitter while the game was going on. I caught up with it after the fact. But first of all, you were with me that as soon as Bregman hit the home run, I was going to hit up AJ.
That was the first thing I did. I mean, like right away, suck it, AJ was my tweet. Yeah, had to.
And he was a little fired up. I mean,
I wonder,
excessively fired
up. I saw it in the dugout, and I thought, surely that can't be because of Fred and AJ.
No, but it's but you know, he went through all the like hand slap and everything, and when he got to the end of the dugout,
he screamed really
that
loud.
That really, like, pre-Halloween scream. I was like, what is that?
Yeah, I tell you, the thought in my mind was, is he really that mad at Fred and AJ that he's in there hollering? Because if he took the time out to tweet them, he was obviously upset about it.
Kudos to Fred and AJ, then, if that's the case.
Getting him fired up.
Yeah, and it's do that working. To the rest. Now, start with Springer. Holy swinging door. And I know Salisbury was out there and he had, hey, George Springer just struck out again. This time it was at the post-game meal in the dugout. I mean, I got issues from, okay, we'll start there. Offensively, the issues I have is one, Springer absolutely swung at everything, right?
Uh-huh.
And on the flip side, if Correa sat and watched another pitch, several times in the count, he watched two go right down the chute and just go, yep, nodded his head. Yep, those were definitely strikes. Then the last one he got rung up on with the bat on his shoulder and just was like, yep, that was strike two and walked away. I'm like, oh my God, at least,
well,
even if you Todd Frazier it trying to foul it off.
No, don't do that.
You got to try. Swing, with two strikes, you got to be protecting up there.
I think what you saw was when you're facing a guy like Kershaw, you almost have to just sit on a pitch. You can't just sit up there and try to guess from pitch to pitch what he's going to hit you with next. You almost have to look for a very specific pitch in a specific location, and that's what you swing at. And if you don't get those, you don't go after it. And I think that's what you may have saw last night, especially like with Correa, as he was sitting on a pitch or he was sitting in a location and he wasn't getting those. He was getting rung up because Kershaw pitched a hell of a game. So I give more credit to, I think, Kershaw. And the fact that Correa's probably up there trying to, you know, or expecting to get something that, you know, in a specific count, and he's not getting it. And that's kudos to Kershaw and the Dodgers staff and being prepared for this game.
I disagree simply from the fact that from a philosophical standpoint, even if you're sitting on a pitch, if you're sitting on a fastball, you adjust for the curveball. And especially with two strikes, whether you got to shorten up or not, all you're trying to do, if it's not the pitch you were sitting on, it's just you have at least to try and foul it off. But to just nod and go, yep, that was, and just go back to the dugout and do it more than once.
When you're fooled, you don't swing. That's the thing. I mean, these aren't guys that are afraid to swing the bat. They're not afraid. They're not scared to get up there and take their hacks. When you're not swinging, it's usually because you're fooled.
But I disagree with the first part of the statement, which was when you're fooled, you don't swing. With two strikes, you're protecting. So even if you are fooled, especially when you know that there's an outside chance that's going to be a strike, rather than sit there and walking away without at least taking a hack at it, try and foul it off so you live to see another pitch.
But he only struck out the one time.
Well, but he was also behind in the count almost the entire night by watching one and two pitches go by that were strikes. Kershaw got ahead. The reason why he got all those strikeouts early was he was first and second pitch, he was just dropping fastballs that guys were watching. I didn't think that they came out with, look, for as aggressive as George Springer was, I thought the rest of the lineup was very passive in letting good pitches go by.
Okay. I mean, I guess we're going to just disagree on it. That's fine. I think for me, I mean, again, I think with Springer, a lot of people are asking him to be moved out of the leadoff spot. I don't think you do that. I mean, the dude is struggling. He's going to have to hit his way out of it. You know, this was, to me, this was a game of three mistakes, and they were all put over the fence And it was just which of these two pitchers was going to make the least amount of mistakes in the strike zone that got hit. And Dallas Keuchel made two. And, you know, Clayton Kershaw made one. And I was talking to Jong, and he was like, yeah, it really wasn't even a mistake. That was a pretty decent pitch that Bregman put over the fence. And credit to him for that. But, yeah, this came down to Dallas Keuchel having two mistakes that he made in the zone. And he definitely got up in the zone to Turner, and you can't do that. It's going to happen. I mean, that first pitch, I felt like, okay, that's one of those weird anomalies. It's not, you're not always going to come out and give up a leadoff home run in the World Series, but if anybody's going to do it, it's going to happen to a Houston team. But he settled in after that, and he did just fine until that one pitch up in the zone. Now, you don't want to be walking people, which was part of the problem. You can't walk Taylor and then turn around and give up that, you know, give up the blast. That's where walks will kill you. And that was Taylor's only walk
without
of the night.
Question.
So, but I just, it was just a couple of mistakes here and there. And somebody even asked me on Twitter, well, if you knew, or, you know, if you knew that Kershaw is Kershaw, why waste Keuchel in this scenario? You're not wasting Keuchel. Mm-hmm. This was, I mean, if you, again, it was two bad pitches.
I mean, take it for what it's worth. Each guy made one mistake going in, what, to the sixth inning. Each guy, you had a 1-1 game. That's all. Look, so Keuchel was matching everything, regardless of the strikeout totals. He was matching whatever Kershaw was giving you, so he was doing his job. So it's fantastic that he got to where he was getting, and he had two outs. Then he walked a guy, then he gave up, you know, and Smoltz all night was like trying to set it up that Dallas Keuchel, being a low ball pitcher, was the perfect pitcher for Turner, because that's exactly where he likes the ball. And then lo and behold, the pitch that he teed off on was a high fastball.
Yeah, it was up
it
in the
got
zone.
Away from him, yeah.
I tell you, if you really want to be panicked about anything in this scenario, for me, it was the outing by Brad Peacock again. Mm-hmm. No control. Mm-mm. Like, he couldn't place his slider. He walked a batter. He did get an out, but it was one of those things where I think it was more of just, I forget who it was, but they missed on that ball. It was a you know, he flew out to center field. But he missed that pitch.
And he was behind in the count, too. He looked like he was going to walk him loaded.
Yeah, he missed on that pitch. But Peacock, I feel like, and Smoltz has said this several times about him, and it seems that way. And I think this moment is too big for him right now. I really do. I feel like he's up there freaking out. I mean, he got into the World Series.
He was
Series.
Talking to himself. He did, yeah. Body language was not good.
I didn't like it. I think Devinsky came out and did much better. That's a great sign. You got a full inning out of him with two strikeouts, no walks. Very clean inning for Devinsky. You might need that later on. But I tell you what, I said it and I still believe it. This is all going to come down to how well or how bad the Astros bullpen is. That's it. That's what this is all about to me, this whole series.
And we'll get into the pitching side of things, too. And the Astros have named their first four starters now, so we can get to that. But, boy, I'll tell you what. Our man Josh was dead on it last night with Cuzzy behind the plate. I was screaming at the television. Altuve, who never loses his cool or has much to say, was definitely on the at-bat where he got the first pitch called at or above his eyes. And the last pitch, which would have been ball four, which he was on his way to first base with, was at the shoe tops. He had every reason to bitch about that. And then it just wasn't a consistent strike zone. You could see it was frustrating Keuchel as well, but man, that guy behind the plate last night was not solid at all.
Nope, it was bad. It was real bad, and you know, once again, you're seeing it was the zone kind of moved around. You know, for a while, everybody was getting the low pitch, then it started moving outside, and again, all I want to see is consistency. That's all I care about. Just to have a consistent zone.
Yeah, know
even
you're
if it's not
get,
a great zone, just
know
be
you're either going to get the corners or you're getting the outside edge. Or know that he's just not calling that pitch. But you could see the key to me, too, was when Keuchel went up there to hit, and you know he doesn't have a whole lot of clue going up there to hit right now in Major League Pitching, let alone Clayton Kershaw. But he was on a couple he got called that were called strikes. He didn't think so, and he's kind of shaking his head and at the same time thinking, I would like to get that pitch as well, which he wasn't getting.
Well, I don't know if I trust the eye of a pitcher at the plate either.
Right. I started thinking about it, too. Them just having that strike zone overlaid on top of the catcher, K-zone. I think that messes with a lot of people as well, because technically for a lot of batters, for Altuve, that's not the right strike zone. That's not his strike zone.
That's what I said that the other day when they were facing Aaron Judge, because yeah. Judge is so much taller that when you saw a ball in the strike zone against Aaron Judge at the bottom corner,
yeah.
That's not a strike
that's
to
not
Aaron
a
Judge.
Strike.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
the same
exactly.
thing with Altuve.
So,
don't think from a computer standpoint that they're not going letters to knees based on the height of the player?
No, that's an
no,
overlay.
That box doesn't change.
Yeah.
It just stays there.
Because the other thing that I think that people don't catch is it's where it crosses the plate. What they're looking at is where it lands in the glove, and they're not realizing that it's where it crosses through that imaginary box.
I think, though, that box is really a 3D rendering, because a lot of them you'll see on that broadcast, they'll have it flat. but then they'll rotate the camera around and show you how it crossed the strike zone. So I think it is taking into account height as well as location.
It also
and
turns
depth of the
yellow
zone.
When it was a ball that crossed the plate inside the box. And then if it didn't, they don't turn it yellow when it hits the catcher's mitt.
I didn't notice
I saw that.
That
last night.
I didn't notice
because they did, and they and what I did like was they even without the K zone, then they went to the aerials and they showed you like you know where if it did cross over the plate, you could see it from the over the top angle. So at least they gave you other options and angles to see it. But yeah, if it's definitely not an adjustable strike zone per the height of the player, that's a problem. But that last ball that they rang up Altuve on was low.
Yeah,
it was bad. So we'll continue to talk about that. We got the zone out of the way a little bit. We'll talk about pitching, pitching matchups, and everything, getting you ready for game two as well as the rest of the series. But right now I want to tell you about my good friends at Window World because I am a huge fan of Window World Houston because not only do they provide premium quality replacement windows at a great price, but these energy-saving windows are made right here in the U.S. of A, and they carry the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. They have become the country's number one window company by offering a lifetime warranty, a higher quality product, and a low price starting at just $189 plus $45 for solar zone low E, which meets Texas energy requirements. It's the first step to reducing your energy bills, and it's all free of charge. You just get a written estimate. You call Window World, you schedule a written estimate. They come to you, they see what you got, they tell you how they can help you, and then they go away. There's no hassles, no high pressure. It's a free estimate, folks. You got nothing to lose. And then if you choose them and say, I want them to do the work, you just call them back. They'll come out, they'll do the work. Your energy bills will decline. Your pleasure with what you have in your house and your windows will go up, and you will be extremely satisfied with the product and the customer service. Call 713-439-1172 or go to windowworldhouston.com. That's 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com to schedule your free written estimate. Window World, simply the best for less. Give them a call.
The ass dropped, had to stop at a red light. Looking in my mirror, not a jacker in sight. And everything is all right. I got a beat from Kim, and she could do it all night. Called up the homies, and I'm asking y'all, which part are y'all playing basketball?
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Hate New York City. It's cold and it's damp. And all the people dressed like.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Bregman just 2 years ago was taken as the 1-1 is swung on and a fly ball hit to deep left field. This is gone. 3-4 rows back in the seats to the left. Bregman with a home run. And the Astros have tied the game here in the fourth.
I'm getting screwed. Get the chorus of the Randy Newman song. Don't make it sound like I picked a bad lounge singer for
you
way back Wednesday.
You picked a bad song. Let's just be real.
The whole city lives
in
on this
mind,
song.
And this is like the intern rap battle.
Can you turn
battle.
It up, Tyler, please? I'm telling you, man. My wife's whole family, I Love L.A., that's like one of their anthems.
I feel like this is your intern rap battle moment where you're like, this sounds great in your head. And then when it came out, you were like, ugh, damn
oh,
it.
You wrecked me.
Okay. Damn it. Not as good.
All right. I did my job. I picked a song that is very pro-L.A. that whatever. All right. So without further ado, it's 1:30-ish. And we have a regular guest to the show that knows the Astros like no other and is on site covering this World Series. It's a pleasure for me to once again welcome in Jake Kaplan of the Houston Chronicle, the Astros beat writer. We appreciate him spending some time with us because he is awfully busy covering this series. But my man, thanks for joining us. Right off the top, just your thoughts on last night. We were talking about the strike zone and the inconsistencies last night, and the one that stood out was the Altuve strikeout. But just overall, your thoughts and perspective on that zone last night.
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, you guys have a better view of the zone than I do because I'm in the press box. I'm not watching the broadcast that's, you know, focused on the strike zone as, you know, as much with the camera angle. I don't think the strike zone was why they lost the game. I think why they lost the game was they couldn't hit Clayton Kershaw. He's incredible. He's the best pitcher of his generation for a reason. And when he's got his three pitches synced up like he did last night, and when you have a lineup full of guys who have basically never seen him, it's a tough challenge. So he only made a couple mistakes, the Bregman fastball being one of them, the Correa pitch being another that Correa popped out on. But, they didn't have a single runner in scoring position all game. So that tells you really all you need to know about how they performed offensively.
Yeah, what do you make of Springer pressing at the top? Is it just a matter of World Series jitters, or is this a kind of a continuation of what we saw from the previous series?
Well, he's a very streaky hitter. I mean, just if you look at his regular season, he has months where he'll hit 10 or 11 home runs, and then months where he'll hit two or three. And I think, unfortunately for the Astros, he's in one of those ruts where he's on the cold side of a streak. And, he didn't have a single extra base hit in the ALCS, so I don't think it's a World Series thing. I think it's just, he happens to be in one of those stretches. A lot of people are asking for AJ Hinch to, drop him from the leadoff spot, which, if you know anything about AJ Hinch, he's not going to do that. He's had Springer in there since May of 16, and he's not one to change things up, especially, at the World Series. So he's going to bat leadoff tonight and however many other games they play in this World Series. And, you never know when he's going to break out of those little slumps. But, he definitely looked terrible to play last night, which a lot of people do against Kershaw.
Jake Kaplan joining us from the Houston Chronicle. He's the Astros beat writer. You can follow him at Jake M. Kaplan on Twitter. Jake, with all that being said about Kershaw, I don't think that anybody can say that Keuchel didn't pitch a very good game either, and most of the Dodger hitters had not seen him. It's just unfortunate that they capitalized on the mistakes he made, obviously the first pitch of the game, and then, a guy that traditionally stays low in the zone got one up to Turner, and he caught all of it.
Yeah, and he actually wasn't – he was trying to go up in the zone on the Turner pitch. He liked the cutter up and in. It's actually what – he used the cutter to get Turner out in the first two at-bats. Turner – being the great hitter that he is, made an adjustment. He picked up a lighter bat between his second and third at bats, and helped him. That helped him get to the pitch. And even Turner said, if on another day when it's not 103 degrees, he thinks that's a routine flyout. But the ball was carrying, and it just left the yard. So yeah, I mean, Keuchel pitched really well. After Taylor ambushed him on that first pitch fastball, he faced the minimum for the next 15 batters. So. There were 17 batters, I think. So he definitely wasn't the reason they lost the game, but the Dodgers have really good hitters. They grind out really good at bats, and they got to him twice.
Yeah, Jake, thoughts on the bullpen? You had Peacock coming in, giving up the walk and getting one out, and then Devinsky coming in for a full inning and getting the outs. Thoughts on how they both performed?
Yeah, I mean, I think Peacock's been kind of shaky this postseason, and I think that's kind of the spot that you're going to see him in when they're down rather than they're up. I don't think he's going to be the high leverage guy anymore. Devinsky, I think that was encouraging, if nothing else was, last night. I mean, he looked like the Devinsky of old, the one that the Astros fans are used to seeing, change up, getting swings and misses, and I think this lineup might be a better matchup than the Yankees were for him, and especially because they haven't seen him. He's a tough pitcher to hit with that changeup when you haven't seen him. So that was probably the most encouraging sign in an otherwise miserable night for the Astros was how Devinsky looked.
Yeah, I mean, from a hitting perspective, obviously the Astros never, got to Kershaw at all. They did not have any runners in scoring position all night long. So hopefully that, the tables turn offensively as well as the encouragement of having Verlander on the hill tonight. But I saw on MLB Network getting ready to go on the air that they've announced that the Astros are going to go with their three and four starters being McCullers first, then Morton. Is that, first of all, is that official? And second of all, your thoughts on that?
I don't think AJ Hinch hasn't said that. If it's so I haven't been maybe he'll announce that officially pregame, but that wouldn't surprise me. I mean he previously said Morton would be in there and very likely McCullers, so it's just a matter of the order. McCullers going first seems kind of natural given his upside. We'll see. I mean, either way, those guys will have to pitch well. It doesn't really matter the order; they would both be available for Game 7. So. We'll see what happens.
I know it's Clayton Kershaw, so you have to keep that in mind, but are you surprised a little bit that a team that did so well on the road, especially offensively, is struggling in the postseason?
I'm not, I guess to the extent that they are, yes. I think the most surprising thing in a few of these games has been how much they've struck out rather than the lack of production in general. I think, you know, that they were the hardest team to strike out in the majors this year. And while that's you know, been the case, and that was the case in a lot of the Red Sox games, I think all four of the Red Sox games and some of the Yankees games, you know, they've had a couple games where they've struck out a lot more than normal. And that's, you know, they're facing the best pitchers in the game, but at the same time, they're some of the best hitters in the game on their lineup. So a little surprising, yeah. You know, I think if they can't hit Rich Hill tonight, they're in trouble. You know, Dodgers' bullpen is seemingly unhittable. And so you figure you get five innings of Rich Hill, who they had trouble with last year when he was with Oakland. You know, those are the five innings they need to hit. And, you know, they haven't scored before a fourth inning since the Boston series. So that, I think scoring early is imperative for them tonight.
Gut feeling overall tonight, Verlander, any worry about all the wear and tear going a little longer, especially in the Boston series? Or are you just, you know, confident that this team's going to bounce back and with Verlander on the hill, they should get a W?
I wouldn't have any concern about Verlander. He trains for this. He trains to pitch into November, it seems like. He's defies the aging curve at every turn. I would have concern about the bats. I mean, I could see this being another 3-1, 2-1, 1-0, you know, 4-3, maybe 3-2 game. And one swing could be the difference. So that's the case in a lot of these playoff and World Series games. So, you know, they definitely need a hit. I think they'll get another Verlander-esque performance, but it won't matter if they don't hit Rich Hill.
We appreciate you spending some time with us, Jake. I know you got stuff to do, but we do appreciate you making some time to get on the air with us. So enjoy yourself out there, and hopefully the Astros can get that W tonight.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Jake Kaplan right there, beat writer for the Houston Chronicle. Again, a good follow at Jake M. Kaplan as he is there in the press box in the city where he can do cover the entire game as it's going on and before and after.
Always good, man. Always good to get that perspective. You know what else is good, Joe? Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. That's good. In fact, one of my favorite places to eat in the city of Houston, and I'm telling you right now, if you've heard my voice, if you listen to this show, and you've not heard of Cowboys and Indians, or you haven't gone, go ahead and slap yourself for me, because you need to get out to Cowboys and Indians and try this food. It's absolutely amazing. Every listener that's gone has tweeted me, texted me, whatever, and said how much they've enjoyed it. I think you will too, but get out there and give it a try. It's 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. Cowboys and Indians, if you don't know, it's a mix of Southern comfort and Indian foods. I promise you, you're going to love this place because the choices you have, absolutely amazing. First of all, they're known for having the best butter chicken in Houston. So if you like butter chicken, get out there and give it a shot. But they also have, like, if you don't want to get chicken fried steak, you can get chicken curry. If you want to get quesadillas made with naan bread, they have that. Wings, sliders, yes. They have one of the best burgers in H-Town. It's called the Himalayan Heat Burger. Go give that a try and let me know how much you like it, because I think you will. All the Indian food is authentic family recipes passed down from generation to generation. Haas and his crew out there have perfected them. And right now, going on right now, if you can hear my voice, get out there between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. There's a limited time special that they're running for ESPN listeners. It's an all-natural half-pound classic burger with fries for $8.99. I don't know how long that's going to last, so get out there and give it a shot. Get that burger and fries for $8.99. Also, you can enjoy happy hour specials for all ESPN 97.5 and SportsMatch listeners. They have the game on. You can enjoy their bar. And look, if you want the food but you don't want to get out, you can have it delivered to your house via like Uber Eats or Grubhub, whatever you choose. They'll deliver it for you. Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, 1901 Taft in Midtown. Look them up on Facebook, CNI713, whatever you do. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, Astros fans, I want you to all be a part of the celebration as the Astros, as we all know, are playing in the World Series. As the official sporting goods retailer of the Houston Astros, Academy Sports and Outdoors is fully stocked with all the officially licensed World Series gear you will need, from t-shirts to caps, jerseys, and more. Shop all of the fan gear online at academy.com and in-store at your local Academy Sports and Outdoors. The best price is guaranteed, or they'll beat any competitor's price by 5%. Let's support the Astros as they continue to earn history. Disclaimer, exclusions apply. See the price match policy at academy.com for details and more.
Doc John 99. Say my name, no one is around you. Say baby, I love you, if you ain't running game. Say my name, you acting kinda shady. Ain't calling me baby, why the sudden change? Say my name, if no one is around.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Knee-deep in hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza. Just had Jake Kaplan, the beat writer for the Houston Astros at for the Chronicle. If you missed it, catch the podcast, as that was some good stuff, as he's there in L.A. covering the series. As we're hopeful for a change in circumstance for game two. We had talked a little bit about the pitching staff. Good to know that AJ hasn't solidified and verified which way he's going to go, but I would think he's still leaning McCullers in game three, Morton game four. Yesterday I had heard Morton game three, and that surprised me.
It surprised me too, because when I kind of put out what I thought the lineup would be, I figured McCullers was game three and Morton would be game four. So then you said, oh no, it's Morton game three. I was like, oh, really? What?
Yeah, I saw it. A lot of people were talking about it yesterday, and I'm like, well, thankfully, during AJ's press conference prior, he said he hadn't decided yet.
Yeah, I think it makes more sense to go McCullers game three, but whatever. I mean, he's the manager, not me, so I also think it would have made sense to have Gurriel in the three hole, and I also didn't like the fact that Brian McCann was in the game against a lefty. I don't understand why you don't start Evan McGaddis and let him do it.
Evan McGaddis.
You like that?
Yeah. See what you did there.
Thanks.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. Crazy, too, as I was looking through things for today's show, Darren Revelle tweeted that after the Red Sox won the World Series in 2013, David Ortiz shaved his beard and Steiner Sports auctioned it. You want to take a gander at what, like, a ball of David Ortiz's beard in, like, a glass circular, like, almost like a baseball holder with a little championship beard ball platform on it. You want to take just a guess what that went for?
I would say probably weird dollars and gross cents.
You got it. $10,877
stupid
for a ball of David Ortiz's beard, David Ortiz's beard from the World Series in 2013. He shaved after the game.
That is stupid.
Yes.
Who paid for that? That whoever paid for that is a virgin. I would be willing to bet you.
No
idea. That's the
dude
that bought the sex robot, I bet.
But I know Drayon 290 was trying to hunt one of these things. There were people on Twitter the other day were talking about getting the SI cover and getting the SI that had Springer on it when Sports Illustrated predicted an Astros World Series for this year, and that it was reissued by Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, you can buy, I think, just the cover on Sports Illustrated, but not the actual.
It's like 25
magazine.
To 40
but all
bucks
that's
or
cheating,
like that.
Right?
Well, you can buy a just the replica cover for $20, or you can buy it framed for
that's just
90.
Stupid. That's just cheating because that's not the original.
But
you should have the one from 2015.
I have the original.
2014.
When I got Sports Illustrated back in the day, I used to save all of them. And
that's like people that
office.
Save Playboys, though. Like, those are point. Why are you saving Playboys?
I have
Playboys
like
now have a lot of value.
No, they don't. Sure,
I think I have a 20th anniversary High Times magazine, which is pretty
cool.
And
you feel like that's worth a lot of money?
No, it's not worth it.
Well, that's interesting because I was going
to
have
right now, but it's just cool to have.
I was going to have Bobby Mintz come on with us at some point just to explain to people. Bobby Mintz is from TriStar Productions that does all the shows at the GRB and all that. Just to have him kind of explain what people, when they're trying to collect something that they think has value, what really does and what really doesn't.
Because saving a Playboy from 1998 really is, there's no value in that. And the reason is because it's not rare. I mean, there were, you know how many of those were in circulation? You know what I mean? Now, if
you've
got
how many people saved them?
If you've got the original Playboy, that may be different. Yeah, a lot of people saved their Playboys. I don't know. I mean, that's the whole point. It's like baseball cards. Back in the day, they used to be rare. They're not rare anymore. They're not rare. Even, you know, there's so many in circulation that it's just not even considered. Now, 200 years from now, but who the hell? Those Playboys will be deteriorated and gone by then.
You're going to tell me there's not a Santa Claus? I mean, you're going to pop all the bubbles in one full swoop?
Now, what if there's a kid in the car?
The thing that bothers me, I said next year you're going to tell me that. I didn't say it was true.
My goodness.
The baseball card thing bothers me, too, because my mom saved all mine, and one day she just shipped them all to me.
Uh-huh.
And for a while there were a lot of rookie cards and a lot of cards that had value, and it seems like that's not a thing anymore. Like, they've lost a lot of it.
Actual baseball cards are not a thing anymore.
Yeah, they just have them digitally.
Yeah,
stupid.
Digital e-cards. Yeah. Like,
who wants
dumb.
That? Who's paying for that? I'm not paying for that.
But how are you going to get somebody to sign that? You know?
Well, and then
get an iPad and then pull up Paint and then be like, can you sign that? And then copy and paste it onto the card. Like, what?
Because that's part of the discussion, too, that I was interested that Bobby could shed some light on. But, like, signing the card actually can devalue it in certain cases.
Yeah. If it's not authenticated and all that.
Right.
Yeah, it absolutely can.
Yeah. So that's I was talking to him the other day about it, seeing what you guys thought about it at some point, because everybody's trying to collect everything now Astros for this World Series. And it's like, you know, the programs, the ticket stubs, all the SI covers, all these different things. And it'll be interesting to kind of break down what's valuable and what's not.
Yeah. Well, so far, this is going according to plan, at least for me. Okay. I felt like they would lose last night.
You and I both said that.
I feel like they're going to win tonight. Yeah, I mean, I when I said Dodgers in six, I laid it out. I thought they split on the road, but the problem is I think they come home and lose two out of three. So that's where I felt like, that's going to be ugly.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I thought they'd lose last night. I thought they would win tonight behind Verlander. And then it's going to be – the whole series is going to be dictated by what happens here in Houston, and I think game four is the key. But then also, if you listen to what, you know, Jake Kaplan was saying, if they hadn't seen Kershaw before but he was that effective, it's going to be interesting to see when they see him again, scheduled for Sunday with a rematch against Keuchel, who pitches great at home. That's going to be a big one too, because of the fact that if you can get to Kershaw then, you know, then he – if you're going to see him again in the series, it's going to be short rest, and hopefully he's not the same pitcher. But I would agree with you that it's all going to be decided by what happens here.
So why do you say game four is the key?
Because it depends on which Charlie Morton you're going to get. We know that the Dodgers' starting pitching has been pretty steady, pretty consistent, although I think Wood could falter. But I really believe that if you get the Charlie Morton that was so effective in game seven, that advantage Astros with the loud crowd, with everything they got going for them, with the DH in the lineup, I think it's great. But I think if Morton comes out and he's not sharp, or he falters early, then you got to get into that Astros bullpen.
So you have him winning game three?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I think McCullers right now, to me, he's convinced me with his last two outings that he's dialed in right now.
Okay.
Yeah, so I like it. You don't?
No, I've told you already. I think they're going to struggle against Darvish, okay, even at home.
So that'll be interesting to see as we continue to get deeper into the series. But hopefully it's a long series, but I hope that the Stros turn it around tonight. I think you and I both are on that page. We already know Tyler's drinking enough orange Kool-Aid that he thinks they're going to win every game from here on out. Right, Tyler? All right, there you go. All right, so way back Wednesday, I'm about out. I got ZZ Top playing right now, so I know that's about my swan song. That means that who's taking hour number two?
I am, I believe.
Barry Laminack will be on deck as he will be taking hour number two, and we'll continue to roll on with hour number two of Usual Suspects. One of the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big show, and we want you to be a part of it. So if you want to join, 713-780-3776 or hit us up on Twitter. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. I've told you time and time again that Mike and Tammy Gust have been running the business at 290 and 34th Street just outside the Loop for about 15 years, and even previous to that, their family had the business, and it is a one-stop shop for everything that you want to take care of for your vehicle. And most importantly, that means tires and rims. If you got a damaged tire or rim, and one of those big box store major companies that handle wheels and tires is telling you everything needs to be replaced, go see the people at American Wheel and Tire, because in most cases, they can repair the tire and repair the rim, save you a lot of money, and get the same effect on the car that you would have had by replacing both. It's just how they do business. They communicate with the customer throughout. They've got comfortable waiting rooms. There's a window so you can watch the work being done on your car, and you will be satisfied when you walk out of there that you got exactly what you needed and nothing more. And if you're looking to spruce up your car with some custom rims, custom tires, maybe a lift kit, an off-road package, or a Kevlar coating, You can check out all the work that they've done on cars previously at AmericanWheelAndTire.com. They do fantastic work. It's very affordable, and it will give your car a very unique and sporty look. That's how they do business. So please check out my friends at American Wheel and Tire, 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop, or check them out at AmericanWheelAndTire.com.
From Dave Tepper, Carl Dukes, Julie Takahashi, Jerome Solomon, and Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, and John Granato, we celebrate 10 years of sports on FM. Thank you, Houston. ESPN 97.5.
These guys are the best at it.